This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America and immigration. Illegal immigration has made the southern border a lightning rod for fiery political debate. How is that shaping the upcoming election, and how might the outcome impact America's neighbors to the south? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz hosted this week by me, Lucy Porter. Don't worry about the blue light police escort that's accompanied me to the studio. It's nothing to do with Keir Starmer. It's just the cashier left the security tag on the nice new top I picked up from John Lewis, and they will stop at nothing now if they think you've been shoplifting. So before this burly constable reads me my rights, let's get on with the show! And welcome to the news quiz. I'm Lucy Porter. Andy is away again this week, so I'm in the chair. Luckily, he has left behind a huge stack of wisdoms for me to sit on. In a week where we learned that giant incinerators are burning our rubbish and millions of litres of sewage have been pumped into Windermere, our teams this week are Team Trash versus Team Turd. So, on Team Trash, we have Deliso Chaponda and Andrew Maxwell.
Yes.
And on Team Turd, it's Ria Lina and Hugo Rifkin. First of all, Ria and Hugo, what might be the cause of a sudden lack of interest in the economy?
OK, so inflation has fallen to 1.7%, which means if things carry on like this time next year, if you want to bribe a government minister, you'll have to give them, I think, 1.017 Taylor Swift tickets. Because inflation's going down, interest rates should go down as well, which means they're currently like 5%, so that by the end of the year, they could be as low as 4.5%, meaning your mortgage will be very slightly less ludicrous. But it's really significant that this is the September figure, because September figures for inflation are used to calculate next year's benefit increases, which affects everybody except for pensioners because they have the triple lock, which is what you put on your house if you can afford one. So inflation's come down and the government's very excited.
Nobody understands it. Nobody understands the economy at all. It's like that movie Tenet. I think the economy is being directed by Christopher Nolan. If I'm honest, because nobody quite gets one goes down, one goes up, one does the other. But let's be clear, this is a blip. Unless it continues to last, this is a blip. It's like when you skip dinner and then weigh yourself first thing in the morning the next day, and you're like, oh my God, I lost a kilo. It'll be back by lunchtime.
Well, it's because airline ticket prices have fallen, is the main thing that's contributed to it.
And it's like, fuel prices.
Well, it's like, I wasn't buying that.
You weren't buying fuel or airline prices?
Not really.
Okay, well, your inflation can stay up at 2% then.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we can get a plane to somewhere, but we can't afford to pay our mortgages.
We can get a plane to somewhere less increasingly expensively than we could before.
I blame decimalisation. It feels like Napoleon won sometimes. You know what I mean?
Well, inflation's gone up a groat.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, this is good news, right? It's good.
Is it? Only if it lasts.
So you've got to be clear, it's not good, it's just getting bad less quickly.
Yeah. The economy was pushed down the stairs by Liz Truss when she was in charge, and it's only just managed to crawl to the phone, so I just don't think we should get too excited. You know what I mean? Because knowing ambulances, they're still going to take 6 months to get there, so we have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Because they've said, ooh, now you can bring down the interest rates of mortgages. And it's like, okay then, off you go. No, they're not going to, so... Nothing.
Wait, see. Well, because there is excitement around economics in terms of budget anticipation. Ooh. In fact, the question I was going to ask to you, Team Trash, is in what way has our old friend, the £22 billion black hole, had a makeover this week?
I'm aware of this, but I've forgotten who it was. But somebody said that there's a £22 billion black hole in the budget.
Yes.
First of all, why black? Okay. I'm just going to put this in there. Like, you're on the radio, I'm black, okay? And there's no reason why it needed to be a black hole. There's a $22 billion hole in the budget, right? I read Stephen Hawking's Brief History of Time, and a black hole sucks in all the matter around it. So this would only be a black hole if it was sucking in other budgets. So literally, there'd be like, oh, the British Museum budgets got sucked in. Oh, no, what a shame. Oh, no, there goes the Wigan County Fair budget.
Apparently, it's got twice as big.
Well, it has, and so they have given it a makeover because they are now calling it not a black hole, it's a delightful $40 billion funding gap.
Funding gap.
Which sounds much more bijou.
It is.
But it's also the responses to it that I find bewildering. So they're cutting down on a lot of the expenditure. So they're like, they've cancelled road tunnel works near Stonehenge, which is just another time where the Druids are getting it. Like, literally, totally unappreciated minority.
Ooh, the Druids.
The Druids.
Ugh, I'd lock every one of them up. Honestly, yeah, no time for those Druids. Dawn botherers, every one of them.
There should be more space metaphors in economics, I think. Like a sort of, you know, a new galaxy of cancel tax. Or, you know, a child benefit comet, I quite like. Yeah, more like that. Everything you've worked for vanishing up Uranus. That's
Rachel Reese has acknowledged that there do need to be tough choices, especially now that we have an even larger funding gap than a hole than we had before. I think turning down those free Oasis tickets that she was offered was really tough. And one of those tough choices, of course, that they've already labeled is the winter fuel allowance being taken away from the elderly. I'm torn on that. You know, on the one hand, you go, gosh, that's terrible. You're going to kill a lot of old people. And then they said, no, we're because they're going to get a pension deal in April. And you go, okay, so they have to live through the winter and then you'll reward them.
I think Labour have sort of painted themselves into a corner because they made promises which aren't really doable. I think they're going to have to change them. So things like they said, oh, there's no austerity. I think they need to change it to no austerity, but we might have custody of it on some weekends. like more realistic.
Yeah. It's basically, Labour Party offered Britain a lift in its brand new Rolls Royce. And then when it came for that lift to happen, it turned out there were no wheels on the Rolls Royce and it was being used as a chicken coop. Which is still good. You get eggs.
I think there are other ways that we can save money. You know, there's other ways that we can sort of fill that funding gap. I think we could sell all of Keir Starmer's unwanted clothes at a car boot sale. I think quite a lot of that. I mean, how about don't redo number 10? It was just done up to a very high standard, wasn't it, with gold wallpaper and the rest of it. Why don't I just live in that?
He took it with him.
I think that in terms of people...
took it with him. He ripped it all down and walked out wearing it like a toga. How did you miss that?
To be fair, if I moved into somewhere that Boris Johnson had lived, I would rip out everything, especially the soft furnishings. Especially if you go around it with a black light, you do not want to see that, mate. Yeah. I did want to ask the panel, if we were going to take out insurance as a nation, true national insurance, what should we as a nation insure ourselves against?
Referendums.
Etonians. Taylor Swift.
Classic Herovian answer.
I thought Lord Sugar's Twitter account.
Mm. Oh, gosh. I think you're referring to the fact this week on Twitter, Lord Sugar tweeted while watching Strictly that he's tired of these gimmicks, something to that effect.
Yeah.
But what I find funny is a lot of people assumed he was referring to Chris McCausland being blind as a gimmick. And when he got the backlash, he said, well, I didn't mean he was disabled. That wasn't the gimmick. But then he's been very vague about what the gimmick was. That is not a time to be mysterious. When everyone's like, why were you being prejudiced? Oh, no, I wasn't. What did you mean? I'm not going to tell you.
I think he meant Scousers. No more dancing Scousers. What did Alan Sugar do to make money? I just remember back in the day, he started Amstrad, which was like a really early form of computer that was basically a cardboard box that went boop. And then that was it.
Well, they moved into making, like, weird hybrid stuff, like a fax machine that was also a razor and stuff like that.
A tease made that would criticise you.
Like a SodaStream car, you know.
So therefore, if there's ever a man who knows a gimmick when he sees one...
Hell of a gimmick, though, isn't it? Say what you want.
But also,
it's
what?
At times when you see him dancing that well, you go, jeez, I wish I was blind. Wish I had a quality gimmick like that.
Another quick question. Which minister wants to give the unemployed a shot in the arm?
Oh, this is a fantastic
this is
story.
Amazing.
Turns out some people are too fat to get out the door. And if you can't get out the door, then you can't be employed outside the house.
Yes.
So, Wes Streeting, he wants to give people Ozempic or Wegovy, these two crazy miracle drugs that make you lose an enormous amount of weight, so then you're physically able to work. Does which, you know...
Wait a second. Like, I used to be thin. I am now plump. And I'm equally lazy. I'm not...
But it makes no sense, because he's basically saying, these people are fat, so we'll bribe them with weight loss drugs to make them work. It's like, no, you idiot, bribe them with food.
Exactly. And this time, don't make it a carrot. That stick better be full of sherbet.
I also like all the people who are admitting they tried it. Like, Robert Jenrick was like, I tried it and I didn't like it. It's Ozempic. It's not ecstasy. It's not... Didn't someone suggest that employers should be held accountable if their employees are too obese and unhealthy?
Well, they should right? be fined for unhealthy
They'll be fine.
Workplaces.
That's it. Yeah. But I think that would be great because then you could negotiate your salary like holding a Big Mac. Raise it or else.
The idea of using pharmaceuticals to solve this is not the answer. If you're the government, you should be raising taxes on junk food, subsidizing broccoli, funding a better education system, and getting over this idea that everything can be fixed by little pricks.
Well, you've solved the economy and obesity there and got that absolutely correct. This week, Chancellor Rachel Reeves announced she is looking to fill a £40 billion funding gap, which doesn't sound as bad as the $22 billion black hole. As things get worse, they're sounding friendlier. I think we can go further. Let's have a $50 billion cosy little finance nook. The upcoming budget will be the first delivered by a female Chancellor of the Exchequer. While the content is uncertain, we know we can expect scented notepaper and little hearts and smiley faces over the eyes. Plus, all the men in the room will repeat it back to her 10 minutes later as if it was their own idea. Also this week, Health Minister Wes Streeting has suggested giving overweight unemployed people weight loss drugs in order to get them back to work. It turns out that Wes likes things slim, very much like his constituency majority of 528 votes. At the end of round one, the scores are Team Trash have 4 points and Team Turd have 5 points. Okay, well, now we turn to round two, and the question here, which I will ask to Team Trash, which energy plant has money to burn?
Incineration plants in the greater Manchester area. In Runcorn.
Oh!
So I initially thought this is the ideal thing, because there are all these plants which turn trash and waste into energy. Right, which I thought is brilliant. That's like, you know, using the old love letters and gifts from my last relationship in the new one. It's like, don't other people do that? But I thought it was a great way to convert waste into something positive. But then a lot of environmentalists are saying that it's very dirty energy, the dirtiest form of power.
I don't know. I think totalitarianism is the dirtiest form of power, but...
The party Runcorn. The point is, the people who own the energy company are offering the locals who live around the incineration facility $4,500 each to sign NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, so they won't talk about how awesome it is to live around an incinerator.
I mean, where's Erin Brockovich when you need her?
But it's because the air's rancid, the water's rancid, they're all kind of sort of wheezing all the time, everything stinks. And there, so there's this $4,500, it's supposed to be a gagging order. They're probably gagging already, I'd imagine. But, so they basically, they wrote to all these people and said, do you want this money? And a lot of people didn't want the money. But I guess if it's all about trash anyway, if you get a letter offering you $4,500 and it's in one of those envelopes with a little window in it, it's very hard to know which bin to put it into.
I did actually, while you were speaking, I remembered that, of course, Runcorn is in Cheshire, which I feel bad pointing out now that we've said so many lovely things about them. They're in the gorgeous county of Cheshire.
But it is like a UK-wide problem. I mean, specifically, we've been talking about Runcorn.
Yeah.
But these incineration plants are everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think about bins quite a lot. Do you have a bin day?
Tuesday.
Again, I live in central London. It's three times a day.
What's your favourite bin, Lucy?
Oh, well, we have the composting bin.
Right.
The little one. It's gorgeous.
Because you can lift it.
I can get in there.
Yeah.
It's where I overwinter. Let's say with the subject of this kind of thing. So, teams, please will you complete the following lines from the great poet of the lakes, Wordsworth, updated in light of this week's news. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I had a sit in a massive pile of...
of Windermere water.
Thank you. Ow. Is the correct answer.
Yes, unfortunately, an investigation has revealed that the water company in that area has been releasing via a pipe into the middle of the lake. So how that got built without anybody finding out, I have no idea. But via pipe into the middle of the lake...
It's such a simple mistake to make that, isn't it? Accidentally build a pipe.
Do you know what I bet?
Lake Windermere.
I bet they were building it all the way across, and then some rando in the government went, we're not building that tunnel anymore. And it got so they've been releasing without telling anyone all of this sewage into Lake Windermere. But in their defense, they said, but we reported it 94% of the time. And I went, well, that's still less effective than a condom. And there's still sewage in Lake Windermere.
The problem is what they call potentially non-compliant discharges, which sort of brings us back to Boris Johnson again, doesn't it?
I'm going to call my dad farts that from now on.
Well, in fact, the incinerator in Runcorn, one of my favourite things about it is it's called the Viridor Incinerator.
Ooh.
Which I think is such a good name. It's like a sort of Transformers villain. The Viridor Incinerator. It sounds like the kind of car that Andrew Tate might drive.
It is a big old lake, it has to be said.
Windermere.
Yeah.
Don't call it Lake Windermere, though, because we'll get letters in.
Why?
Because it's a mere, it's not a lake.
Oh. And their difference is?
Yes.
Very good. Oh, I wonder whether it's because it doesn't flow onwards.
Maybe.
Is that because it's made of shit?
It's the United Utilities Company. The United Utilities Company has been releasing sewage into Windermere without telling anyone, without permission.
Oh, but that's how you do it, wouldn't you?
But wouldn't
you? You know, they say it's always better to ask forgiveness than permission. When you're running a utilities company and defouling one of the most famous, beautiful places in your country. True story, I learned to water ski on Lake Windermere. And I can tell you there was no poo in it then.
Not when you started.
So, yes, you've done very well on the second round. All of the stories about waste. The story that burning household rubbish in giant incinerators is deeply harmful to the environment. The incinerators were originally pitched as a green alternative to landfill, which is like describing crack cocaine as the heroin that you can enjoy between meals. burning rubbish in incinerators is now the dirtiest way the UK generates power. Previously, that position was held by the friction from Boris Johnson rubbing his thighs whenever he caught the whiff of a married woman. And it was also revealed this week that United Utilities deposited between 143 and 286 million litres of unauthorised waste into Windermere over a period of 3 years. The sewage can harm and even kill fish and other marine life. And you can learn more about that in David Attenborough's next series, Brown Planet. So at the end of round two, the scores are Team Trash have 6 points and Team Turd have 7. Yeah. still everything to play for, and we now move on to a sports round. Who better to ask our first question in the sports round than the man I lovingly refer to as the voice of the balls, Andy Zaltzman. He is dialing in once again from Pakistan. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Lucy. Sensational job so far. Why this week have some people been saying that England have scored an own goal without even going on the pitch? And remember, this is a sport question, so feel free not to constrain your responses with facts or objective truth of any kind, or to show any working whatsoever. From Pakistan, lots of love, Andy.
Oh, thank you, Andy. So, teams, what male nonsense was Andy wanging on about there?
I mean, I'm going to answer this because I'm half German, and the England team has finally seen sense and gotten someone who understands the game to lead their men's football team. And some people are upset about it. They feel like we've sold out. But you've had other nations lead the team before. I think there was an Italian, there was a Swede, like, and obviously failed. So now you've finally gone, okay, we should have done this all the way back in the 40s and surrendered to what is best for the team. And now finally there's a German, Thomas Tuchel, has been appointed the manager of the England men's football team. And maybe you can finally win something.
I think Tuchel should lean into it. Into the perception of him that is angering these people. He should just start calling the forward attack the Luftwaffe. He should start referring to Harry Kane, who's going to get the golden jackboot. Right. And just generally toy with their rage in subtle ways.
They did put the most German-looking photos of him they could find.
Yeah, he was like wearing lederhosen and a special collarless jacket, wasn't he? Holding a huge jug of beer, yeah.
I think the problem's going to be when he starts pointing across the pitch, telling people where to go.
It's how Thomas Tuchel arrives 2 hours before the game to put a giant towel out on the pitch. So you wish to play an international football game against my team, but sadly my towel is here. Your move, Switzerland.
It was described, the Daily Mail described it as a dark day for British football that Thomas Tuchel was appointed.
Why are the English so against winning in the men's game? I don't understand.
Can I just point out, I think, are you the only English person up here, Lucy? Obviously, I'm Scottish, as you'll be able to tell from my impenetrable accent.
No, I hate to tell you that I, as of 6 months ago, I'm British too. Now can have an obnoxious view of this.
You can now be disappointed in our football team.
Yes, I well can.
Done. Being British, you can be disappointed by four different teams.
Can I just ask you, though, this is not the only sports question, and in what I consider more exciting sporting news, team trash, which other major British sport was infiltrated by a dominating, charismatic international interloper this week?
I think you speak of that. I actually did not know this was a sport.
Of course it is.
Right? Conquerors.
The proud sport of...
Call yourself British.
They may withdraw the citizenship because I did not know this.
Surely it must have been one of the questions on the test.
Don't you have to play
Surely
a game?
You didn't only have to say who was the last Plantagenet king.
No.
Which was...
Henry. There are a lot of Henrys.
Delisa, talk us through how you play conquerors.
You take a conch.
It's
and you
us.
Throw it at her. And you conked her. No?
Brilliant.
That's pretty
good. Not far off.
Billy said, what's a conquer to you? Do you know what a conquer
is? Like
is?
An acorn?
No.
I just know that it's something that someone was trying to cheat. And so he had a steel one in his pocket. So it has to be small.
Just to explain to everyone, if you haven't seen this huge news, it was the British Conquer Championship, which they were won by an American woman. Whose name was Kelsey Bansbach, which, fun fact, Kelsey Bansbach is how you say Kemi Badenoch in American. But there was also, as Deliso intimated, a cheating scandal because King Conquer, David Jenkins, was found to have an artificial conquer in his pocket.
And I also love that when confronted about it, he's like, no, this isn't a cheat. I just have it there for luck. That's like going to a poker game and you've got an ace in your pocket. Oh, it's just for luck. It brings me positivity.
I just love the judges saying to him, like, have you got a steel conqueror in your pocket or are you...
But I think the crazy thing is, which makes it so offensive if you're a homegrown Brit, is the fact that she only entered it because her friend was entering it as a bit of a laugh. And then she won, and you go, how dare you?
Oh, God.
Also, and she probably brought over her American Conker, so they were probably twice the size. Do you know what I mean? Like, just massive Texan Conkers against our little British ones.
They supply... You don't get to bring your own Conker.
It was a joke.
I know it was a joke. It's a serious matter. They supply... Because they supply all the Conkers, and King Conker, the steel Conker man, was involved in the supply of Conkers, and there is, like, an adjacent cheating scandal that he, in fact... specially marked the strings of the harder nuts to make sure he got them.
God, so you're saying God. It's not a conquer cheat, it's a conspiracy.
It's a conquer conspiracy.
This thing just gets bigger and bigger.
Is there a huge prize money? Why does one care that much?
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Oh, my God. It's almost like you don't have autumn in your country. It's the only reason we live through these dreadful months. Once apple season's over, it's conquer season.
I also love that King Conquer, he's 82, yeah. Right? That is an amazing age to still be an athlete.
So the sports round, you've absolutely answered everything correctly. This week, German national Thomas Tuchel was officially announced as the new manager of the England men's football team. The arrival of Thomas Tuchel could be just what England needs. Think of it like the car industry. Germany offers high-end performance and efficiency, and England hasn't produced anything decent since the mid-60s. I think the appointment of Thomas Tuchel is excellent news. This means that when we win the World Cup, we can all chant two world wars and let's sort of share this cup. Be lovely. And the Conquer Championships. There were two major upsets at this year's World Conquer Championships. The overall winner was an American, and there were accusations of cheating when self-styled King Conquer David Jenkins was found to have an artificial conquer in his pocket. David Jenkins called his accusers sore losers. I mean, come on, David, it's the World Conquer Championships. You're all losers. David Jenkins was accused of using steel conkers, and coincidentally, steel conkers was Hugo's nickname at school. The World Conquer Championships are well organised and respected around the globe, despite operating on a shoestring. Of this week's news quiz, Team Trash have 7 points and Team Turd have 9 points. They're the winners! And before we leave you, just a quick reminder, do keep listening to Radio 4, as coming up after The Archers is part 17 of our landmark 400-part History of the Mantelpiece. This week, bevelled cornice work. So, that's the end of the news quiz. I've been Lucy Porter. Thanks for listening. Goodbye! Taking part in the news quiz were Ria Lina, Deliso Chiponda, Andrew Maxwell and Hugo Rifkind. In the chair was me, Lucy Porter, and additional material was written by Peter Talouche, Mike Shepherd, Tasha Danraj and Alfie Packham. The producer was Rajiv Karia and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.
I'm Greg Foot, and my podcast, Sliced Bread, from BBC Radio 4, is back to separate more science fact from marketing fiction.
We've gone from where there's some science, and we've turned it sciencey.
Each week, I investigate one of your suggested wonder products, something that's promising to make you happier, healthier, or greener.
The cost is almost £200.
It's out of my range, I'm afraid.
The new series of Sliced Bread, including our 100th episode, where we'll be investigating the products promising to help slow the effects of ageing.
We can hopefully slow down the ageing process and hopefully make people live healthier for longer.
Slice Bread with me, Greg Foot, on Radio 4 and listen first on BBC Sounds.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America and immigration. Illegal immigration has made the southern border a lightning rod for fiery political debate. How is that shaping the upcoming election, and how might the outcome impact America's neighbors to the south? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.